Hello, world. Another episode of Hard Rain.
Drunk Cocktail.
Downtown Seattle, Washington. We're here tonight with the posse. We got James Hennigan in the house, as always, my co-host. We also got Joe Hicks on the board.
What's up?
Making sure that everything sounds good.
I'm trying.
He's having a hard time tonight. We started out with a jackhammer outside the window.
The jackhammers threw me off, man. The jackhammers threw me off. My world's in chaos right now.
It might happen again. We're in a breaks period right now. Somebody's having lunch or something that's running the tractor. But we got Terry Joyce in the house, our guest this evening.
Glad to be here.
It's a nice day today. Everybody have a good day today? What's up?
I worked, so it sucked.
I had a nice day. I hung out with my friend here.
We got Jody Jensen
with
in the house.
Jensen.
He's
Jody,
sitting over on the stool.
He's lurking in the shadows.
Yeah.
He'll scoop in and say something if it's important.
So we're going to hang out and watch some movies. And
You were here last night to perform where?
I was at the Jazz Bones in Tacoma.
Oh, how'd it go?
It was really fun. Yeah, the show was good. And then they had a DJ come out. And this lady after the show said, I've got something. If we want to go outside, we can go outside and talk. I go, yeah. So she had like a joint, you know. She smoked me out, and I went.
I'm surprised they didn't just light it up in there now.
I know, and I was like, oh my god! And she goes, this is, and she said some sort of Spanish like mota something, you know. And it was almost, she was almost like a shaman woman, like, you're going to fly, lady. And I was like, I could not leave for like an hour
it
and
was
a half.
That hardcore.
It was that.
I think you're
hardcore.
In the Mecca. I think the Pacific Northwest is where the weed comes from now. Besides that, in Humboldt County, right?
Yeah,
is the best.
It's
well,
the
we
best.
name the weed here. That's what Washington does. We name it. So. They grow it everywhere.
I'm just so excited that I'm in a state that actually legalized it. I feel a real affinity to be here right now. I'm like, thank you, man.
You guys must be doing something right. Yeah.
You actually got it together, got it on the ballot, and made it happen. California, you know, I worked on the prop. I think it was like 37.
I'm an
activist. So we tried to do it in Los Angeles or California in 2009. We got real close, but we didn't. It just seemed like we didn't have the money. I don't know if it's not even a money issue. I don't know what it is, but I knew you guys got it going way early and out there, and you freaking legalized it. And
we love our weed in Washington. That's
we're Democrats and shit.
Did anybody
we're
go
libertarians.
Did anybody go to Hemp Fest? It was just as bad.
I went to Hemp Fest. Yeah.
So you're still riding the Hemp Fest high then, I guess.
I only got to be there for a day because I was checking. I was with some other comedians, Travis Simmons and another comedian, Arlo Stone. And Arlo Stone and I came up from Portland in a vegetable car. It was fueled by vegetable oil.
Yeah, I heard about that last night from Hennigan.
Yeah, and I live streamed it and for my on my channel, the Hollywood Hempress channel, and I took Arlo was putting vegetable oil in the car and he was explaining how it works and stuff like that. And we were right at a Chevron station and the Chevron lady who worked at Chevron comes in, she goes, "You can't do that. Stop it. You're gonna have to stop." And I'm thinking, you can't be in their parking lot and put vegetable oil in the car. You can't do any side. I mean, obviously, I don't think she understood what we were doing. It did have a contraption where it had this button and this big tubing that came down and it made a big old buzzing noise.
Sounds
and it was
pretty convenient.
It was very handmade. It might explode if you're
he
not.
He kept mumbling,
careful.
My precious.
He was dancing around, going woo, like that.
Were you into it? I mean, was this kind of a nightmare?
So you're saving the environment, but it might kill you.
It won't kill you, but it was a rough ride. I'm not going to lie. We left Portland at 4:30 and we didn't get into Seattle until 11:30 at night, because it's kind of a new project. So his filter, I guess the oil was too thick or wasn't drained.
Too many French fries in the filter,
right? And it clogged it up really fast. So we had to toggle between diesel and there, and then he and I didn't have that much money.
Oh, so there was a part of the time that you were killing the environment, and the rest of it
we weren't quite the purest yet.
Did it take so long because you had to keep pulling over and refueling, or just drive slow?
We fueled twice, and there was a couple couple times we'd be going up a hill and be like, oh, and he goes, oh, I'm losing speed here. And then at that point, the first time it happened, it was like we were going 35 when we should have been going like 55, 60.
Whose idea was this run?
And I was like, it's actually Arlo Stone. Arlo Stone's idea was he's been wanting to do the vegetable truck for, like, I did the San Francisco Comedy Competition with him in 2001. And then we ran into him in 2005, 6, and he talked about having this vegetable car for a really, really long time. And finally, I would always ask people, like, over time, I go, hey, did he get that car together? I mean, like, you know, because I always thought it was a great idea, and he did. There was a moment where we were going 200, we were going like for 2 hours, like we were jamming on the vegetable oil, and there was this feeling of like freedom. There was this feeling of like
for 2 hours.
I'm like doing something so different. We're flying on vegetable oil, you know. We don't belong to the system. Like I had just a little
Some
bit
of
a thought like that.
Some of that vegetable oil came from Monsanto corn, though.
Yeah. I know.
And then the rest of the 5 hour trip just sucked horribly.
So we just poisoned our lungs, probably. Yeah, I probably like killed brain
Some
cells
kind of
from Monsanto
killing
corn.
The bees from the corn oil cars. Yeah, we have no idea what's going on with the environment at this point. I don't think anybody
knows. You know what? Fuck the environment. I love my truck. It drives so smooth. I don't have to keep pulling over.
The environment was all Buffalo-based. That was the problem, and it fucking threw it into a weird situation.
It was all Buffalo-based,
you're
saying?
Yeah, we need to bring it back to Buffalo.
They were the fulcrum of this fragile ecosystem.
That was it. That's when shit started going to hell, you notice.
Man, who knew? It was all up to the Buffalo, man. That's intense.
It's pretty close to real, though. I mean, that's why that stuff existed. It worked. That's why there was forest fires. Now there's bigger forest fires because we fuck with it.
I'm curious, though, where do you get this oil? Do you literally like empty grease traps
well,
at a restaurant?
Well, he goes to the restaurants. He's hustling the restaurants, and there's certain restaurants that are into it, and they just
Does
donate.
He pay them, or do they just like?
Most of it's free. I mean, like I saw him, like we went to the boiler room.
Because normally they have to pay for a service to come and empty those traps.
Well,
out.
He just takes it off their hands. He just goes, yes. Hey, can you give me like a couple of like, you know, and their vats are like about that big.
Like how much of this shit do you have to collect before you actually can get from Portland to here? Like you're truly stopping every city?
No. Actually, we only really fueled up once, or like I think I've seen it. We did it twice.
He doesn't have to filter that oil or anything, though.
He did. That's where he. I don't think he filtered it as clearly. He kind of said, "I might have messed up. Or I might not have done this like I needed to. I was kind of in a hurry."
Yeah,
we might burn to death in a fiery.
You have
crash.
To filter it, you know, because you get a fuck.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not necessarily proud, but I've worked in a few restaurants. I know my way around a fry machine, and I know that the oil inside of those bins gets pretty nasty.
There was one filter that was salmon, or like it was some sort of fish. He goes, "Can you smell the difference?" Put your nose down there. Can you smell it? Like that one. Which? What does that smell like? I go, you know, it's kind of.
Don't want to be behind you when you're rolling with some fish oil.
Yeah, but that one. The fish oil ran a bit better than the French fry. The fish oil kind of unclogged us for a while.
Is this something you're going to get into, or are you going to get yourself one of these cars?
Well, I think it needs to be perfected a little bit more, but I wanted to film him and be part of it so that I could just get it out on YouTube, because I just feel that...
Oh, you
know,
filmed all this?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of it, you know.
Is it online yet? Or?
I haven't uploaded it yet. It was, like, last weekend, you know, I kind of been, like, going back and forth and doing some shows. I haven't had a chance to edit it yet, but... it's there, and I'm excited about it, that there's actually something
did
like that.
Did you videotape a Hemp Fest at all then? Or?
I did. I videotaped some of the Hemp Fest. Interviewed some people. I was at the Dr. Bronner soap area, and I just kind of organically started talking to a girl, and they're doing these labels now for, I think it's 502 or 572, but it's the new proposition that they're trying to get on the ballot here for to label GMOs. And I taped Dr. Bronner talking about that a couple times that in Washington, you know, it's like, hey, let's be aware, you know, let's label these GMOs. I worked on gathering signatures for that in California.
Labeling GMOs, what does that mean?
That means it means that the grocery stores have to let the customer know that the food, this food here in this can or this fruit here is genetically modified.
Got it.
And so that we know. So that's the big push right now. But the thing of it is that there's still a lot of people that do not know, I find, about genetically modified foods yet, which is kind of surprising.
Well, maybe it's because the supermarkets aren't labeling the genetically
right.
Modified
I mean, like, people don't even really understand what it is either, you know. And then they have this. I remember, like, we had this ad, you know, for against labeling it, and it was just so vague, you know, like it was like well.
You mean there's a fraction of people out there who are against labeling? labeling genetically modified.
Well, yeah, the people, well, yeah, that, the make people that make it, yeah.
Oh, I was
yeah.
going
to
say,
they want like, you to be able to read
well,
it.
Well, I was
going to
say, outside of the people who make it, who would legitimately like argue against, like, you know,
Republicans,
labeling?
But
there was definitely a lobbyist for the opposite everything. Side. And guess what? That's the commercial that people get to see. You know, the it always seems that the side that has the truth
money.
Doesn't have the money, or somehow it gets blocked to where the information actually really gets out.
So the anti-GMO ads on TV and the with GMO labeling ad is at HempFest, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Braun is really speaking out against it. And that's what I like about the HempFest.
Yeah, but when
you know,
the only
you
place you hear about it is on the fucking jar of soap you're washing your hair with. Sometimes you don't even get through the whole label. That's
the label's
monster,
overwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah, I've read half of it.
I need to put my cheater glasses on just to get through it
in
the shower.
Because
you'll fall asleep in the fucking bathtub, and that's a dangerous situation.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, I thought. I mean, just the, even the way he like labels him, obviously he's definitely onto the environment and kind of a purist. It's almost like it almost seems like a religion, you know, like the back of his bottles are like, you're like, who is this dude? And then we, you know, yeah.
I didn't know it was.
I go, Dr. Bronner.
I didn't know it was a real
here.
Person.
Yeah,
you know?
He's a real person.
That's like
I know.
Meeting the Smith brothers at a cough drop convention. You know, that's a fucking icon.
Yeah.
So these GMOs are not even allowed. We're pretty much the only country that allows this stuff, right?
Well, I to my understanding, and I don't know everything, but it seems like there's certain countries that have label it.
But aren't there countries like Great Britain and different places?
Yeah, they
some
won't
even
won't
take our
take
meat
it.
And our food.
China, I think, and Japan. Won't let some of it
caused the farmers in India to commit suicide over, you know, I don't know if it was exactly Monsanto, but it was over genetically modified foods and the loss of their crops.
Oh.
Or, you know,
how did they lose their crops over?
Well, it was something like, and I have to look at it exactly, but it was, and this has happened over here too. But I think it had something to do with like if you have like one crop that's genetically modified, and you have an organic crop, and that seed goes over to there, and it makes your crop turn into the Monsanto crop, and you produce stuff, then Monsanto says no, that's ours because that's our seed.
Well,
so
yeah,
you don't get to claim that.
Yeah, they sue these farmers
like,
for using their product.
Yeah.
Did you see the machine with the jackhammer that we're listening to?
I sure heard it.
They said Monsanto on the side of that
fucking
thing.
I don't believe it. There's surely evil behind that jackhammer, for damn sure.
That's
it's insanity.
We'll just push through it, see what happens, right? Every once in a while they're quiet. That's when somebody needs to be ready with something really important and amazing to say.
All right. Well, I don't have anything important and amazing to say, but I'm still curious about your HempFest experience because you saw Dr. Bronner's booth.
Dr. Bronner's booth. I actually, there was a band that was playing, like a reggae band, and there's a lot of people that were dancing, and I really love to capture that. And then there was the guy that, he was the one who had the reality show, the Harbor Bay Medical Marijuana Clinic, and really well-known activist. He came out and they sang like a parody song about, you know, liberty and marijuana and everything like that. But the lyrics honestly were so touching that even when I was filming it and being there, like I had tears kind of stream down. You know,
there was a lot of emotion at HempFest.
And
I
turned the camera to this other guy, and this other guy was crying too. And I went, "Fuck, I'm not the only person." And I go, "Hey, man," and he's like,
"Everybody's
so touched
all doing
by this."
Dabs and they're emotional.
Unfortunately, when I was there, though, I was there on Sunday, I think it was, and they had it was Saturday afternoon. They had, it seemed like I was there for 3 days between the heat and the hash oil. Things
dude,
were getting weird.
Plus the thing is huge.
Yeah,
it's
well, that was the thing. We were just going to walk around the park, and it took us like 2 hours to do it.
So did you get any fucking police Doritos?
I didn't get to stay long enough to get police Doritos. The problem is that Arlo brought his dog.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't bring dogs into HempFest.
Except for there was a ton of dogs in HempFest.
Yeah,
I asked this lady, I go, "Well, how's your dog in here?" And she goes, "It's a CNI dog." And I go, "Oh, really?" I go, "That's..."
Oh, yeah. You can get those online.
And it
seriously,
just,
everybody's got a service dog.
I was like, "But you don't look like..." I mean, she looked like she had perfect eyesight. And I go, "Did you just like..." Maybe you could just go up to people and go, "It's a CNI dog," and you just look at them, like you just say, "Hey, what
it's
are you doing about it?"
It's a CNI Chihuahua,
and then maybe they're just not educated. And they go, "Oh yeah, come on in."
Yeah, sure. Well, they don't want to argue with about it, just in case you like flip out and have a seizure.
CNI
so
Chihuahua.
They were actually enforcing the only one of the rules that they thought mattered, which is keep the fucking dogs out. Other than that, don't smoke weed, but we'll still let you smoke weed.
Oh, dude, every 6 inches people were smoking weed.
Yeah, and they said don't. Like, you're walking in, and everybody's literally walking in with pounds of weed and the freaking... vaporizers around their neck.
They're selling edibles on the way in. I mean, there's people like they go, hey, you know, you get this, get that, blah, blah. You know, I got some edibles. They'd be on the site going, I've got these, you know, like gummy bears, and you know,
nobody is doing anything.
I could have bought a pound of weed 1 gram at a time before I even made it into the park, man. It was just every 10 minutes. And then when I got in there, I didn't see like any police once I was actually in the park.
They weren't doing anything.
But unfortunately, the stage that I stumbled in front of had like the angry activist on it, you know. So he's like screaming and yelling and like, you got to do something now.
And then they
like,
follow it over with a white power hate band.
You know, and then the one I did actually on our way out, we bumped into a couple of cops. They were giving an interview. And the only reason I remember it now is because you mentioned the Doritos. And the friend of mine that I was with, I was trying to film a little bit too, and one of the police officers was giving an interview to the local press, and another cop was standing there just watching, and I was trying to film, and my friend leaned over to the cop that was just watching. He said, hey man, you got any of those Doritos left? And she said, no, sorry, we ran out. And then he shouted, let me see your fingers. And it was just the funniest, like, weirdest oddball thing. But then I felt like maybe we should leave before he got us arrested, and... That's a long story.
You guys were high.
Oh, my God, dude. It was a little weird. Like, it all started, you had to wait in line. Like, I don't know if you had to wait in line to get there. We had to wait, like, 45 minutes.
This little security
I was on Friday, like, the first day, like, around 2. So I think, like, I was, like, kind of in the early crowd. One thing that I did notice, and this was really fascinating, did you guys see the guy who had the cross over his shoulders and he had the bullhorn?
That's what I was going to say.
And then there would be a truck that would go by with like a cross on it, like really hellacious, freaking scary looking, like you're going to burn in hell, like down the side, like you're going to burn in hell. And it was like a production going down the street. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, we were there on Saturday and we had to wait on the side of the road for like 45 minutes to an hour. And the guy with the bullhorn, the Christian guy, just decided to post up right there, like right next to us. So we were kind of high by then, and we had to like have this guy scream and yell this Jesus stuff.
Yeah, it really fucks your buzz up.
No, well, the funny thing is, like, I was so high, like, I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life, and I couldn't stop laughing. And one of the things that made it funny was because everybody else around me was like angry at the guy, like they were like, "Fuck you, man! You come here and tell us all the Jesus," and that like made it even funnier. I was like, "Wow, you guys are like legitimately angry about this."
Then you
would have
got
like,
all freaking paranoid.
That was the thing, you know.
Scared
of
the dude.
That's when my friend Johnny and I started saying stuff like, wait a minute, man, this doesn't feel right. Like, we can't see the end of the line. We don't know where we're going. Like, this is how they got rid of the Jews, people. Wake up. This is problematic. Like, you really did get the sense that people were, like, legit paranoid. Like, there was a weird, there's an eclectic group of people, I'll say that. I saw some juggalos. I saw some hippies. I saw some hipsters.
How come Hannigan wasn't there? It's National Hannigan Day.
I thought I'd see.
I don't like parking 9 blocks away.
It wasn't that bad.
I just want to say, those fucking Doritos, $70 a piece on eBay.
I know. They sell them on eBay now. It's crazy.
That's why people don't realize the massive market that is available to everybody. It's like a gold rush in Seattle right now.
Well, but you got to admit, that's like one of the most amazing things ever.
It is a gold rush, though. I've always felt that one of the reasons why people are coming into California for a while is because of that industry. And it is an industry, and there's so many other industries that are connected to it that I really believe it's the boost of our economy, and they do, and it's exciting.
That's why they're finally doing something.
Next biggest thing besides glassware at the Hemp Fest? Clothing.
Yeah.
And apparel is a huge thing. I own 2 silkscreen presses and a silkscreen company, and I've noticed that suddenly all these medicinal marijuana and marijuana dispensaries are suddenly coming because they're selling apparel. If it says Seattle, Washington on it, people are grabbing that shit
There's huge marketing behind all that. We stopped at a booth to get a bottle of water at one point, just a bottle of water, and I looked at the label, and it was like H420, you know, cures your cotton mouth. And it's a fucking bottle of water, right? And it had all the, like, weed leaves.
Oh, it's
going to
be massive. I think there's more money in the peripheral shit than there is in the actual weed. The government's going to control that shit.
I do, too. I would agree. And there have been things happening. Like, there's a woman named, I don't know if you've heard of a woman named Cheryl Schumann, she's been doing a lot of things like with mainstream television, you know, speaking out on like, ABC and Katie Couric and all that kind of stuff, you know, Ricky, like, about patients that are like their children are, you know, getting cured from cancer on it. They've decided to administer it to a 7-year-old, which is a controversial subject matter, to marijuana smoking moms. And she just like, she's like she connects. She did branding for show business, like, for she did like the eyewear for the Hollywood people. So she's branding this business with these CEO companies and like making like, you know, like $1 million deals with people coming together. I mean, this is, I mean, I can see it happening and being extremely viable.
And the beautiful thing is that this is ground floor. So anybody that has an affinity for that or is good at that kind of thing, here's another thing that's wide open and it's ground floor. There's only 2 states.
Yeah. It's funny because it seems like at most
the other one's Colorado. It's barely fucking occupied. I think there's an Indian reservation and an Air Force base in fucking Colorado. That's about it, right? Yes. Or Denver.
Well, and the funny thing is, it seems like
Just pause for 1 second and listen to that freaking amazing jackhammer that's just
the
completely
sound of
fucking
industry,
everything
ladies
up.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's beautiful.
Growth,
man. It's a beautiful
progress.
Thing.
What are they doing out there?
They're tearing up the street for no apparent reason, I guess.
If you look, it's kind of interesting. This city was built on layers and layers of other shit that
wood
fell
and
down.
Wood sawdust.
And there's you can see the layers of wood that the city stacked on. It's all rotting underneath us. These buildings are just falling down.
Wow.
And now they're running a tunnel through it with a huge tunnel boring, the biggest one in the world.
Because that's where you want to be during an earthquake.
Underground. Under the ocean.
Under the ground. In earth that's going to move around when the fucking earth, it's stupid. I'd rather be on the fucking viaduct.
Where you can ride it down.
At least I can jump. At least I got a shot. I'm buried under a fucking tunnel. That's just.
But how often are there earthquakes here? I mean, is it?
Enough.
Pretty often. This
really?
This is on the fucking rim. This is on
not
the
that
earthquake.
Often. It's not like California.
Well, there was and a pretty bad one not long ago, and they say that this thing cannot afford another earthquake.
There's a bunch of fucking shit offshore and stuff. There's plates.
Well, I guess I remember when that bridge collapsed in Minnesota or whatever. That's when everybody got real concerned about it, and they came out and tested the or looked at the structural, you know, integrity of it and said that it was not great. So, for whatever that's worth,
you can actually go online and see the computer animated things if it were to happen, and it shows it going down. So
Alaska,
whatever.
Alaska in '64, they had the same type of situation. They'd built up a whole, you know, height there and put the fucking city up there, but it just moves around during an earthquake.
Well, this side of town was all swampland, right? And then they filled it in with sawdust from Yester's mill
and stuff from the hills that they drug down when they cut down this Denny Hill and all this.
So we could all die at any minute. I guess that's the point we're trying to make.
Well, that's life, my brother.
Hey, at least we're not in hurricane season every fucking year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this happens, but dude, this East Coast shit seems a little scary. I've been in it. It's not good.
Oh, I came
and
out.
It happens year after year after year after year.
It seems like they're getting hit like every, you're right, every year there's like somewhere happening.
I came out from Indiana, and aside from the just horrific winters that are out there, they also have a lot of tornadoes out there, and that's something you don't see here in Seattle really ever either is tornadoes, and that's kind of worth moving away from. So,
I think I'd take a possible earthquake over tornado or hurricane that's like more seasonal.
You know, I don't know. I have kind of a weird fascination with tornadoes, especially when you see one like up close and personal. Like it's an adrenaline rush. It's wild. Like I drove through one. Well, you know, the peripheral kind of. It wasn't like a major, like, you know, Wizard of Oz kind of scenario. But I kind of drove through a lot of those.
You went up in one and ended up in Seattle.
Like,
Kind of. They're intense, man. But
oh, I like to see it. That shit's incredible to see and makes you feel so small. But I don't know if I want to live in that shit all the time.
I was doing a road trip one time, a comedy tour, and I was kind of like, I think either just missing some sort of tornado, like, you know, kind of like going away, like towards it or something. It was ahead of me or something like that, or behind. I don't know. Somehow I was just barely missing it by an hour or something, and then I got to my destination. That was kind of, it's the closest thing I've ever been to for myself.
Have you driven in a lot of winter?
A little bit. You know, I've been up like through Montana and stuff like that on road trips. You know, you probably know that. You know, going through those Montana runs.
That's
like
where we got this fucking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, God. Yeah.
I'd rather drive in that though, because it's just about slowing down and being mellow and I don't know. I don't know if I want to be in weather that's got tornadoes. I'd rather drive in the snow.
Fuck that. Aside from the rednecks, the weather was the whole reason I moved out here. Fucking rednecks and tornadoes and blizzards. Like, nobody needs that. That's the trifecta of hell.
Oh,
right
shit.
There. Yeah, nobody needs that. It's awful.
It starts in the Dakotas and goes clear to Chicago.
That's the worst thing ever.
Sounds like a song, don't it? It's like the weather blues.
The coldest place I felt, I ever felt, I thought was Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the wind, and it was just like the wind chill. They have those skywalkers connecting all the malls and restaurants and stuff, so you don't have to go outdoors. You can go like a block or whatever. But, guy, you came whipping around that corner. I just thought it was so cold. And I've been to Alaska, too. And I didn't even think I felt as cold in Alaska as I did there. I wonder why that is.
I lived in because Alaska.
It's more damp.
We used to look at Minnesota and feel sorry for them because their weather was so much shittier. We were on the coast.
Yeah,
we had the fucking Japanese current. We never got very cold in Anchorage.
If you go to Fairbanks,
it'd be 20 below fucking zero. Oh, you poor bastards.
Yeah. So whatever. They have pretty much Anchorage has the same as Seattle weather. Maybe a little bit more snow.
It's a little colder, a little longer because you have more winter time.
But you go to Fairbanks, that's like desolate shit.
Who the fuck would go to Fairbanks?
I've been there. It's horrible.
I've been to Fairbanks.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Land
of the Kwanzaa huts.
Back, aren't you?
I'll tell you who would go to Fairbanks, a comedian. That's who would go to Fairbanks.
Yeah.
I was in Fairbanks for New Year's.
I was on Kodiak Island New Year's 2001.
And I was on Kodiak Island New Year's 2010, I think.
That's crazy.
Like a few years ago.
Same crowd.
But it's fun. It's cool. Different people.
It's how the many same 10 people.
How many states have you smoked weed in?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would say... a lot. I would say almost every state I have ever worked, I probably smoked weed in it. Maybe like 30 different states.
Nice. Maybe, what about you, Hennigan?
48.
Okay.
And plus Canada and Mexico.
So what are the two that you didn't?
Maine.
Oh, that's why you want to go to Maine.
And Hawaii.
Oh, you will in Hawaii. What about you, Hicks?
I'm not very well traveled, man, but I drove out here from Indiana, so I crossed a lot of states, probably while smoking weed, if that counts.
It does count.
But I didn't tally it all up, you know. Definitely.
You didn't know you were going to be fucking quizzed.
I didn't realize there was going to be a quiz later. Or
I would have smoked up in a few more places.
That's
true. I didn't
know
it was a competition.
I would have taken the long route.
Driving.
And then I would have blown all you guys away with the incredible number of states that I'd smoked weed in.
Well, it's
kind
of scary,
way.
Though, because some of the states, it's literally like Seattle, you can smoke anywhere and do anything, get pulled over, the cops don't give a shit. Oklahoma, you're going to prison for
Texas
any amount.
Used to be
it's a felony.
Georgia.
Arizona's
Nevada.
A no-tolerance state.
Holy shit.
I mean, yeah.
Vegas is not good. Even Nevada is not a good
Georgia's
weed.
Zero
Even
tolerance,
Oregon
too.
Even Oregon is not as fucking liberal-minded as people think. It's not a good state to get pop either.
Huh.
Like there is a good state. Hey, watch me. You know. Fuck it.
Well, I've heard of people running into trouble for having seeds in their car in Georgia, you know, just getting pulled over and a cop gets shot.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, you know, if you're off in the middle
problem.
Of fucking nowhere, you're going to get hassled. You got to be around civilized fucking people.
You got to do the speed limit and make sure your headlights and taillights work.
Yeah, all that stuff, too.
I don't know if it's a good argument that we're civilized people, because it's kind of funny. It seems like Seattle is, like, sprung from, like, drunk lumberjacks and prostitutes, right?
Well,
so
that's where civilization sprang from.
Well, I'm just saying, either we're advanced civilized people or we're just the same crazy heathens that we were that started this town. Because legalization of marijuana, I guess there's two sides to that coin. Like, one is like, oh, these are civilized people, and the other is like, these guys are partying freaks and they just smoke a lot of weed.
Well,
some of the best music that ever came down the pipeline is from here.
I was telling Jody that on the way down here, I said, I actually was playing in up at this area. I was in this area when that was happening, and I said that sound that came out of here, like Kurt Cobain and that whole sound. It was almost like, oh my God, this is real music. This is not this computerized or this commercial bullshit that you get, you know, pumping out of like the mainstreams of what we get to listen to music. And I haven't seen it happen since or before in my lifetime. I mean, like, 'cause like the '60s, you know, I mean, like, yeah, I was like breathing on the planet, but I mean, it wasn't my culture.
Right. I'm sorry, keep going.
No, I was just going to say, some of those guys are still around. Mudhoney, Soundgarden, they're still cranking out tunes.
They're very relevant now. But the thing is that if you go back even further, Seattle's been breaking artists like Louis Armstrong. Jimi Hendrix is from here.
Etta James played.
I mean, and even AC/DC was broke here by KEXP, so.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, well, dude, that counts. I mean, he was in a definite part of rap when it was coming up.
Yeah, it's just fun to compare big butts to Nirvana.
His shit is played at every wedding reception, every club, every night, every fucking somewhere.
I think the Beatles played at Hempfest in '64.
There you go.
If I'm not mistaken.
There is a little bit of Beatles history here, though.
They were, and Elvis did a fucking movie here in '64.
Yeah,
At the World's Fair.
At the World's Fair, exactly.
And he sang in that movie.
So there's been a lot of, I mean, like Seattle is been a bit of a hub of creativity and action. That's what I like that about Seattle.
What is it? Is it the drunk lumberjack prostitute gene that, or is it?
I think maybe it's a mixture. I mean, you know, I think there's a rebel gene. I've heard of a rebel gene.
Don't judge us entirely on Cops episodes in Tacoma.
But it's considered to be very positive. I mean, if you think about it, America was founded on rebels. I mean, in its truest form, and how we believe it is that, you know, the founding fathers came here and said, no, we're not going to go by the aristocracy. We're not going to go by being ruled by a bloodline, you know, king, queen, or whatever. We believe in something different. So we had the Declaration of Independence and everything that's happened. They were rebels. And so I think that it's okay.
And they grew hemp.
And they the Declaration of Independence was signed on hemp paper. I mean, that's all symbolic. And so
the flag was made from hemp. That's my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see a pattern. They knew what the fuck they were going to do here.
Well, there's a difference between hemp and weed, too. I mean, let's be honest. Because the hemp used to be a major textile industry crop.
Hemp is different than pot anyway.
Well, that's why I feel that that's a real reason why it's illegal.
Well, sure. It was the textile industry that was involved with that.
And the oil and everything else. And, you know,
The story like Dow Chemical was patenting some process
DuPont.
For paper mills?
It was DuPont. Yeah, and I'm going to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I don't, because it's true. It's true. DuPont, the Rockefellers, J.P. Morgan, there was Hearst, you know, Rillam Randolph Hearst.
We're naming names.
And Henry Anslinger, that actually, they did like a complete campaign with the Christian church that did Reefer Madness. It was all a smear of lies, even to the point of saying, like, oh, here's your white women, you know, smoking weed with these jazz and black jazz musicians.
All
they pushed every single button that they could. And they also wanted to get rid of the Mexicans, you know, so they made it their Mexicans' fault. And they called it marijuana, you know, because it was, you know, that's why they, as a slang, to turn people off even more. So it has a racist intent to make the entire, and it kind of like the Monsanto Protection Act, they kind of slipped it in. People didn't really know that was happening. They didn't know what cannabis was as much.
And this was all for money.
The cannabis tax. And so it's kind of like a SAG card.
They had all this fucking lumber that they had to turn into paper.
Yeah.
And pot and hemp makes better paper with less waste and more profit.
There's even health benefits as well, even eating it. And it makes, I guess, a milk that tastes better than soy milk.
I like hemp milk. You know, I mean, there's hemp milk.
I mean, I've never tried it. These are just things I read, and this is crazy. Yeah,
you can eat the seeds, too. The seeds are actually...
Yeah, they say a heavy-duty amount of minerals in the husks of the seeds. Sounds to me like a miracle fruit.
It is. And it has all the amino acids that your body needs. When you grow vegetables and stuff, you're supposed to like have a mixture of vegetables so that the soil will take a certain type of nutrient to make corn than it will like a tomato.
Right.
And so you can like just suck all those nutrients. If you don't change your crop up, you make the soil stale. Hemp won't do that. You can keep doing it over and over again.
It kind of regenerates.
Yeah. It causes it to like. You can just keep planting it. It won't take it away.
So it
really is like a plant that has a multitude of uses that would also make certain things obsolete. Like the if we can run our cars on vegetable oil and we can run our cars on hemp oil and you know, they could already make a car hydrogen. I mean, there's been this technology has existed, and so that's why sometimes I get fired up, because that's my question mark. If this technology exists, then why are we fracking? Why are we doing these other things?
Because they make cash.
Because somebody is holding on to an old paradigm for I don't understand what reason that was.
Well,
what's the reason?
For profit. They're
that greedy that they're, you know, destroying. Sure, not only are they destroying the earth that we exist in, but they're demonizing and they're punishing the people for like wanting to use this and stand up for it like they should be. And they're imprisoning them, and they're doing a bunch of shit.
Yeah, it is horseshit.
Yeah, it's horseshit. Anyway, enough about that.
And we're raping the planet and killing the animals.
Let's start stockpiling weapons and do something about this, goddammit.
Well, and that's a whole nother subject matter, you know? I mean, like, the weapon thing, you know? It's like, you know, like, the only reason why we had the right to bear arms is because we were to protect us against a tyrannical government. So now you're, like, saying, okay, now you can have all the guns and all the drones and do what you're going to do, but the American citizens cannot protect ourselves. From, you know, how do we know that your power is not going to go out of control? I mean, ultimately, you know, if we could get to places as people like, no one needs guns, let's all put them down. That's an ideal, like, visual of something. But the fact of the matter is they do exist. And to disarm another group and say, you can't be armed, but we are going to be armed. I'm sorry, but that just doesn't look right to me.
Well, I think, maybe part of the problem is the game has grown so complicated that a lot of people don't realize when they're being taken advantage of and how they're being taken advantage of. You know, like we were saying earlier about GMO labeling, like most people, it's just not an issue that ever even crosses their mind.
Research.
You know?
There's too much stuff to watch on
Netflix. You know, that's how this industry just carries on and makes these huge profits, because the majority of the people, maybe even probably just, they're completely unaware of how they're being taken advantage of probably, so...
That means people are responsible to actually look into this shit and pay attention to
what's
going on.
And there's too much good shit on TV to really take the time to...
Yeah, that's the problem.
Do you think so? Because I'm having difficulty with television, like, sometimes. Like I can't stand the commercials.
I hate television, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who love it. And I can't stand... I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's a lot of people who smoke pot. But if I'm high, like, the commercials somehow become, like, patently offensive to me. Not just, like, annoying, but, like, I get angry. Like, I think, like... I'm not this stupid, like, you're pandering to me. It feels like there's these crazy, like, convoluted
scenarios. I don't know what
scenarios.
Fucking TV shows you're watching.
Just the commercials. Just the commercials. Like, there's always some crazy, convoluted scenario
I
where
watch
there's
Netflix.
Two people having
I don't
having
see any commercials.
Oh, well, you know,
I'm not on normal cable TV.
Sometimes, you know, you smoke a little pot, you lose track of the remote control, things happen, and you're
forced
to watch commercials.
Suddenly watching kitten videos on YouTube. And, holy fuck. You should never do dabs and fucking smoke by yourself. Jesus Christ.
Do dab. Wow.
No, I'm never doing dabs again, man. One was enough for me. And like I was saying earlier, when that happened to me, it reminded me of every ABC after school special I'd ever seen in my life about the horrors of drugs. And I realized at that moment in time that they were all right, that marijuana is a terrible thing. It will cause black people to rape your daughters. And it's awful. It's terrible. It was a horrible experience. I'll never do it again.
Wow.
And that's my
I had a good time. Yeah. I did two dabs. So whatever.
Took me to a dark place, man.
You know what? I think that what we were talking about earlier about Seattle and the whole rebel vibe I just watched a documentary on the Prohibition, and one of the biggest guys in the Prohibition that made all the money was a guy in Seattle, and that's, you know, they fought that, made millions and millions of dollars, but he's one of the big wigs. And then suddenly now we're one of the first states. I guess Colorado, actually, there was a lot of bootleggers there as well.
Well, isn't the CEO of Progressive Insurance a medicinal marijuana user, and he's one of the big lobbyists and checkbooks behind the I-502 initiative, I think it was, like, legalized it here?
I-502, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the initiative that legalized it, right?
I'm not sure. I know this much about it, which is nothing. So that's why we have somebody like Terry.
Well, Progressive is like a huge insurance company.
That sounds familiar. I mean, I don't know like everything on it, but
maybe I'm insane, which is
there's
possibility.
There's insurance companies too that have, like, I've met people that created their insurance company like to insure those who are in the industry, you know, like for making their edibles or, you know, things like this. So. That aspect of insurance is happening too out there.
Which is making people money.
Well, here's the thing that I wonder about behind legalization, because I've been talking to a few people, and a few people are concerned that like a big tobacco type industry will step up and say, oh, well, let's like start making marijuana cigarettes and so forth, and they're worried that that'll limit the breadth and scope and quality of the product and the availability and so forth. But I kind of wonder, it would almost seem like a big corporation like that would be nervous to invest perhaps millions of dollars in manufacturing and facilities when it's still a federal offense, when at any point in time the federal government could show up and say, well, you know what, I think we're going to shut this down because it's a little too big. It almost seems like it still being a federal offense encourages a mom-and-pop type industry as opposed to big corporations, because mom-and-pop industries, you know, people will be, you know, selling it out of a kiosk or a booth or whatever.
They're going to do the everything's well, too out of control.
If that happens, then the other, that they'd have to change what they were doing for people as well if they were going to do it for a corporation. Because we are getting attacked. The reason how I became an activist was that I was in a doctor's office that was in the same building as a medical marijuana dispensary, and the dispensary is raided.
While you were there.
By the DEA, yeah. And everybody from the dispensary ran into our room because they couldn't tell the difference between the two rooms because we were just setting up. We had, you know, I was held at gunpoint with everybody else, and you know, I'm handcuffed and interrogated, and you know, pictures with the FBI and everything. And then I shook their hand and I go, "Thank you for giving me like 30 minutes of new material."
The tight 30.
Nobody ended up like, you know, being arrested or anything like that. And it was something that like actually was so shocking to me that it took me a while to process it and get it over, you know, get it, you know, to deal
with
it.
What did they do? They didn't arrest anybody. They just came in and took the product?
Yeah, they came, took the product, act like they're, like, you know, big bad, you know. It was like a, like, to me, this is how I, it was like being bullied. You know, like, really, do you think that you're going to make up your own laws and think you're going to distribute your own thing? Let me tell you, it's not federally legal, and we're going to come in and we're going to tell you, we're going to intimidate you, not arrest you.
Was this in
what?
Oregon?
This was in
cops.
This was
like
this was FBI. Like this was DEA. This is drug. So oh, this shot. Was in North Hollywood,
California.
I remember when that was recently, right? That they raided.
Well, they've been raided. They still are raiding. California is like really, really getting hit really hard right now, because it was the first state to actually like legalize it. So they had the most basic law. Then all the other states, like, you know, made it a stronger initiative, and they had to keep it simple because they had to just pass the simple part. So we're kind of like, they're really. There's a woman named Lynette Shaw and several other dispensary owners. They have been claiming taxes, you know, on their business. The IRS hit them and said, you know, because it's illegal, you can't like claim any of these things off on your IRS. And so we're suing you for $1 million.
And you can't write off business expenses.
Yeah. I mean, and there's always these laws with California about the zoning, like you can't be near a park and this and that, and, you know, children, you know, school and like all these different, but then sometimes they make like, They said, oh, well, it's not a school, but it's a park where children go to. So now you fall in this category, even though you don't quite, but we're still going to kick you out. She lost her entire business, IRS, everything, you know, just boom. She was like the first one to open up in Marin County. And, you know, the Emerald Triangle down in like that area, you know, Arcata, Marin, all that. They of that entire those areas thrive on the marijuana. I sound like my mom, the marijuana.
The marijuana.
But their economy is booming because of it. It has been, again, marijuana for California has been the California gold rush.
Wow.
I mean, we have predominantly, and California also is an area of growth that creates a certain type of bud that is on the same level of goodness as what would be grown in Afghanistan. They're the for whatever those soil areas are is
it's
the best.
Like, because this is like why the wine's good.
Like
in the
wine,
Napa Valley.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Although
that,
the majority of that's grown in a closet, so other than the humidity, it really doesn't have much effect on the stuff. It's all hydroponically grown.
Well, not all of it.
Well, there's still outdoor stuff, but I'm saying the indoor is the highest. That's the highest amount of money.
Indoor seems to be the most desired right now,
yep,
because they're able to, like, you know, have more control over. It looks neater when it's trimmed.
Do you think much of that revenue in California makes it into the municipality, like makes it into like the so-called legit revenue streams?
Absolutely. I mean, here's to my knowledge.
Well, the laws are different in California, right?
The second you spend it at a business.
To my knowledge, what I've been told is like a lot of the storefronts in Arcata are actually money laundered into it's the money of marijuana in it with their legitimate storefronts.
Well, it's a shame that they have to circumvent the law, because I think that's going to be one of the key differences in Washington and even Colorado is when it's legal recreationally, then it's much easier for the city to come along. And
but the city's still trying to figure out where they're going to stick the money because you can't open it. You can't put it in an account. They're literally thinking they have to start their own bank.
That's hilarious. Like, that's going to turn the entire state of Washington into just a giant money laundering machine.
It's going to be hemp checks.
But, I mean, you guys, like, actually legalized it. So, you know, I'm very interested to see, like, what happens here. This, I mean, it's exciting to watch how this.
Well, that's kind of what I was saying earlier, too, about.
The business is going to boom and
stuff. Yeah, if it's going to be big corporations, I would think they would be afraid to invest that money. But, you know, there's still so much money to be made.
But there's a lot of, like, legitimate businesses, like, you know, from machines to weighing to, like, all the devices that we need to do.
Yeah, like we were talking about earlier, bottles of water, you know, everything can be labeled.
I mean, you just, it's almost like it's you market for a genre. I know a girl who does artwork, you know, she has her own clothing line. I mean, I have like a line of products, you know, like designs of things you can get on Cafe Press that have like all these different.
Well, you
know,
got
things.
Go ahead and pimp them out. What do you?
Well,
what are
I mean, and honestly, if you get one, it's for a 10% of the proceeds will go to Vianna Haju, who was a dispensary owner in Los Angeles, like in the Devonshire district, that she got raided quite a few years ago and ended up like being denied her blood pressure medication during the arrest and what ensued. She got a stroke and everything like that. So she's defending like her case that she was following state guidelines. But anyways, if you buy some, we'll like donate a proceed to that. But I do a show. I've been doing a show called Hollywood Hempress Hour. Online for a while. Right now, its home is Atomic Comedy Network. It was on New Distant Radio before that. But Cafe Press, just like the, you know, Hollywood Hempress Hour. You know, just you can Google it. There's, you know, / the Hollywood Hempress Hour.
And you said you had product on Cafe Press?
Yeah. There's like we have like our logo, and then there's just like cute little things, you know, like designs that you can. Some of it, it's like a rug, or even like, you know, coffee pots, or, you know, I mean, like all these little devices of like just these little sayings and stuff, and, you know,
just like, stuff for sale.
Like, you know, I mean,
good
like
stuff.
You know, bags that say, you know, like gluten free, and then it has a marijuana leaf on it. You know, my favorite is like just say no to Big Pharma, and then I have a circle and a slash on a pill. Yeah.
Nice.
So.
Well, we talked about everything. I think everybody was high, so we talked about a lot of shit all over the place, but it was good. I had fun.
Hopefully the jackhammers aren't too
This is the construction weed episode.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy what they're doing out there.
That was fun. The construction weed episode.